Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I can't tell you there's only one thought in my head, because that wouldn't be true. There's always at least a zillion, maybe a gobbledygadillion thoughts in my head. That's how my head operates, which is why sometimes strange things come out of my mouth. When they get jumbled up in there, they don't always make sense. It's because there's too many things flowing out of my brain. I might be the female version of Josh McDaniel, but stream of consciousness going. I just don't always say everything that's coming out of my brain. Sometimes I manage to keep it to myself. But the prominent thought is one that I already put out there on Twitter because I had to share it about a half hour ago. It's almost the weekend. Almost! We almost made it. We're going to call this a Flannel Friday, by the way. But apparently producer Jay didn't get the memo because I didn't send a memo. But do you even have flannel?
I do.
What?
Yeah.
You do?
A couple, actually.
Huh.
I would have liked that memo.
What colors are they?
Like brownish, red. I have like a blue one, I think.
Well, I think. Are they stuffed in the same closet where the pasta sauce that I gave you a year and a half for your birthday is located as a paperweight?
They might be around the same vicinity.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't have any designs that they will actually see the light of day because the pasta sauce certainly has not. By the way, I can't even buy my favorite pasta sauce at the grocery store anymore. And so I would really like that jar back.
What happened to it?
I don't know. They stopped selling it at my grocery store.
So I have a rare item now.
But you're not going to use it. So why don't you just give it back? Please, can you just package it up and give it to me as a wedding present?
That's amazing.
That would be amazing.
That would be funny.
Especially since Bob would love pasta sauce. Oh, goodness. Yes, it's almost the weekend. And if you too would like to exult and celebrate, well, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page too. Do you know in Northern New Jersey, which is where I live, the New York City Metro, we are about to have our seventh consecutive Saturday with rain. Seven. There have been multiple tropical storms, tropical depressions, just measurable rain every single Saturday.
It's actually got weather.
It's going to start on Friday morning, right smack dab in the middle of the commute, and it's going to, the morning commute, and it's going to continue on into Saturday. Stop it. Why? I know I sound like I'm whining, but I really would just like one Saturday without rain. It feels like forever because it's been 2 months. I hope that's not the case wherever you are. I hope it's a beautiful fall or autumn day, whichever one you prefer. It is going to be cold, which is why it's a flannel Friday, because with the temps and this storm system coming through again, there are going to be wind chills and real feels in the 40s all weekend. Jay, I don't know, might be time. Have you turned the heat on in your house?
I've tried a little bit, but it's my family members aren't ready for it, so they turn it back down.
Yeah, my dog sitter had the heat jacked up to 71. Oh my gosh, poor Penny. She must have been dying. Oh my gosh, remind me. I got to tell you the funniest story about where I found Penny on a Thursday morning when I got home. She was wearing the collar, but she was stuck.
Oh no, stuck. I know she likes to like cuddle up in corners or places.
No, you can't cuddle with this gigantic donut collar, but she was stuck. She I tried not to laugh, but I couldn't help it. Anyway, I'll save that story for a little bit later on. So, I digress. It's a Flannel Friday soon because it's going to be raining out the wazoo Friday into Saturday again. So, I managed to mow the front lawn on Thursday, and I don't know when I'll get to the back lawn. The back lawn is my own personal jungle. Don't have any exciting plans for the weekend. Gonna write a blog post, gonna sit on my rear, gonna watch some college football and baseball. Going to continue to purge the house. Got to make room for another human soon. Oh, a human and a dog. There's a lot going on. Purging and playing with the remote. Going back and forth. And probably wearing sweatpants on Saturday. I'm looking forward to that. So it's almost the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can, whether you want to weigh in early, you can, or you can wait for the much anticipated game of the week poll in the NFL. We're looking at the games. There are some doozies this weekend. Pretty excited about what we could see in places like Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia. It's going to be fun. We do have a bunch of starting quarterbacks that are missing, though, but not Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence wearing a knee brace for the first time in his football career, going back to when he was a youth and then high school and then college, never wore a knee brace before. But with the sprained knee, he was out there on a short work week, so tough Trevor was out there and was the Jaguars' leading rusher. That's not supposed to be happening. But he does have great instincts, and he actually looks really good on the move. Didn't appear as though the knee brace was bothering him. So we're going to get to football coming up, but playoff baseball trumps the football, at least for a short few minutes. And we do love walk-offs, wacky walk-offs in the baseball postseason. That's what October is all about. The Diamondbacks were hosting their first NLCS game in a long time, and they had a rookie on the mound. If you didn't know the name Brandon Pfaadt, well, you do now, because he was terrific. Into the sixth inning, locked in against the Phillies.
And the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Two-seamer right on the outside part of the plate and then broke off the plate with that late movement. And he got him to chase a pitch, and that's another strikeout.
He's got nine.
Rack him up.
Rack him up is right. On the Diamondbacks radio network, Brandon Pfaadt, a career-high 9 strikeouts. And while Ranger Suarez, the starter for the Phillies, didn't have the same number of strikeouts, though he was close, neither starter gave up a run. Into the sixth inning, neither starter gave up a run. So this is unlike what we had seen from the Phillies to this point. A scoreless game heading into the top of the seventh. Both the Phillies and the Diamondbacks played it a run in the seventh. If you were watching the game, you remember this moment, but I had to rewind and watch multiple times. A wild pitch thrown by one of the Diamondbacks relievers. Okay, so at this point, Pfaadt has been removed. He's not given up a run. Ranger Suarez hasn't given up a run. But Torey Lovello goes to his bullpen and his second reliever, so his second pitching substitution is Ryan Thompson. And Thompson puts a runner on, well, Bryce Harper. And Harper moves around. It's a little bit of small ball, if you will. But then Thompson throws this pitch that is, it had to be 8 feet off the plate. It went flying off to the, I guess if you're standing behind the plate, so let's say you're the umpire, it's off to your right. But from the pitcher, it went flying off to the left from the pitcher's mound down. I mean, and it was thrown really hard, so it bounced off the wall. And trying to think who was at the plate at the time. I'll have to go back and look. But whoever was in the batter's box at the time told Bryce Harper to hold up and not to run because the ball caromed off the wall so fast that there actually was a play at the plate. But what did we talk about earlier in this postseason? Bryce Harper, he's aggressive. And he was breaking with that wild pitch. I'm telling you, it was like wild, wild. I don't think wild pitch does it justice. It was wild, wild. So, yeah, you have Bryce Harper that scores on that wild pitch. I guess it was JT Realmuto who was in the batter's box who told Harper to hold up. But then Realmuto strikes out. So that's it. They don't get any more offense in that top of the seventh. In the bottom of the seventh, though, the Diamondbacks, they match and we're tied again. So we go from scoreless through six innings to 1-1 on a Lourdes Gurriel RBI double. And I love to see the Diamondbacks fans get really excited. Obviously, the Phillies can be, they can be buzzkills on the road for the fans when they jump out early and when they make a lot of noise. But it was cool that the Diamondbacks had their fan base into this game. And not just into it, but tense and intense. Another scoreless eighth inning and then on into the ninth. And man, this, you want to talk about heart in your throat for the Diamondbacks fans. They were threatening, but nearly snuffed out.
The kick and the pitch. Swung on, grounded to third. Backhand Turner. Runner is coming home. The throw, the tag, and he is out at the plate. Gurriel avoided the first attempt. Realmuto came back and got another tag on him. And they get the first out of the ninth inning at home plate.
I'll give you one guess as to who was on the mound for the Phillies. Oh, my gosh. I'm one of those people that tends not to forget when it comes to relievers in the wild ride. And Craig Kimbrell, they pay him to make it more dramatic, I think. So he comes on in the bottom of the ninth for the Phillies. I'm sorry, I'm just not a big... Well, I mean, he's had a long career. He's got a lot of stats. But it just seems like it's always way more exciting than it's supposed to be when Craig Kimbrell is on the mound. No matter where he's pitched in the major leagues, it's been that way. And so he walks the leadoff hitter. Of course, because why not? Let's just go ahead, put him on base. Let's give them a head start. It's not quite the runner at second base in extra innings during the regular season, but this will be fun. Let's go ahead and put the first hitter on base via the walk. So Gurriel walks before anything else happens in the bottom of the ninth. He steals second. And then there's an infield single that pushes him to third. And so at that point then, with nobody out, Gurriel could afford to be aggressive. And why not? You're trying to walk off in the bottom of the ninth. You don't want to go into extra innings. So there's a ball hit to shortstop, but a perfect throw. And actually, Gurriel kind of dodged the first attempt at home, but he ultimately gets tagged out. And you hear the call there with Scott Fransky on Phillies radio. But there still are, it's not fair to say, ducks on the pond. But that's my tendency. There are still opportunities for these Diamondbacks because once again, what does Craig Kimbrell do? Well, he walks another guy. The first guy gets thrown out, so let's put another guy on base just for fun. I'm sure the Diamondbacks are thrilled to see Craig Kimbrell on the mound in the bottom of the ninth. So yeah, Perdomo walks. And actually, it was a really professional at bat by him because he had to hang in there, fought off some pitches, and worked that walk. So then it's bases loaded for Ketel Marte. And I'm not sure if you know this. He's been prolific in this NLCS.
And the 0-1 pitch. Swing! Base hit!
Diamondbacks win. Into scores Smith. Marte gets his third hit of the ball game, and the Diamondbacks are alive and well in the National League Championship Series. They win game three. They come back home. They beat the Phillies 2-1 on a walk-off by Marte.
I just try to have fun out there, try to do my best for the team, you know, try to help the team win. And then I just have fun out there. That's why everything's good.
Could tell Marte, I just try to have fun out there. I have fun. That's why everything's good. I personally am a big fan of his purple hair. Boy, when he takes off his, whether it's his helmet or whether it's his hat, that hair stands up. It's something the kids would absolutely dig. So Marte wins his battle with Kimbrel. Again, what a shock. And now think about this. Marte for the Diamondbacks has 6 of their 17 hits. Wow. Not quite automatic, but he's exactly what they needed in this game. Greg Schulte with the calls on Diamondbacks Radio. Yeah, where would the Diamondbacks be without Ketel Marte?
He's just got an unbelievable heartbeat. He loves to be in that moment. And, you know, he is one of our best players for a reason. And I thought the key to that inning was Perdomo walking and handing it off to Ketel.
Yeah.
But Ketel thrives in that situation. He just has the heart of a lion. He wants to get the job done and be the main guy to help his team win a baseball game.
I know you're not going to hear any of the Phillies say this, but the leadoff runner walks, there's got to be a bit of a pit in your stomach or an increased heart rate. There has to be, because you know what Craig Kimbrel is capable of, both good and bad. So that's the part that's got to be so frustrating. Right away, you walk a guy. The Phillies defense manages to throw that guy out at home, and you promptly turn around and walk the next guy. Stop it. Craig Kimbrel, I get it. As I say, long career. He's had a lot of positives. But 2 walks, 2 hits, and the game-winning run come while he is on the mound.
Got ahead. Felt like I made some pitches to try to get us out of it. And, you know, some days you get them, some days you don't. And today just wasn't that day.
All right. I'm just going to stop making snarky comments. I understand this. They are as far as they are in part because of who they put on the mound, the late stages, and he's been in a lot of big games. He's got a ton of experience. It just never seems to be boring 1-2-3 with Craig Kimbrel, especially not on the biggest stages in the sport. So Torey Lovello, now, see, it's hard to, in my opinion, it's hard to nitpick with Lovello when the score is tied at 1 going into the bottom of the 9th. I don't know how you can really get upset about his decisions with the bullpen or with Brandon Pfaadt, but people were really upset that he pulled the rookie before the 6th inning was done. But again, you're talking about a scoreless game. It's very tense. You've got a bullpen that's ready to go and fresh, not to mention he pulls Pfaadt before he would face the top of the order, the top of the Phillies order. Remember how potent that is. And he'd already seen them twice. So the rookie had seen them twice. He'd not allowed a run. And Lovello decided he did not want them or him to face that top of the order a third time.
I want everybody to know that is trying to think along with me that we have a strategy I have a strategy for everything that's done. Everything that's done is been well talked about. And it's not just analytics. I know how quickly playoff baseball can change. And I felt like Brandon kept the game under control and it was time to turn it over. I am prepared to get booed. I am prepared to get second guess. It's my job. I sit in this seat and that happens. And I don't mind it. We won a baseball game and that's all I care about.
That's true. At this point, who cares how it happens? It doesn't have to be aesthetically pleasing, and it doesn't have to please the fans. And for Brandon himself, to have a career-high 9 strikeouts, to leave with the game scoreless. Man, he's got to be thrilled as a rookie.
It feels great to pick up the team. We went down 2-0. That was a big win for us. We knew that going in. I think coming out with that win, that helps us get some momentum on our side, and we'll see where it takes us tomorrow.
Mm. So the Phillies' bats were tamed. They were relatively quiet. There were some great defensive plays. It's a lot of fun to watch these final four teams flash the leather. We really are getting some cool defense, which is my favorite part. So flashy. Flashy and jaw-dropping at times. The instincts and the plays that are made bang-bang in the field. Trey Turner certainly has plenty of those. Could I hear from Trey Turner, please? It would be so cool.
It's who executes on what side. So, you know, you may get a pitch to hit. You may not. You may get the hit. You may have to battle and two-strike hit, do different things, take your walk, whatever it is. But that's baseball.
Turner, a little bit shy there for a minute. 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. So the Phillies had a couple of opportunities, but really they were limited on both sides. And the Diamondbacks get the first one in their building, which is what they have to do. So NLCS is 2-1. That was also the tally in the ALCS going into their game 4 at the ballpark in Arlington. I have a friend who was at the game. Actually, a friend who will be at the wedding was at the game. And she shared a photo of the roof that was open. Made it look pretty. I can imagine the atmosphere was incredible for a time there anyway. Rangers and Astros facing off for the first time in the playoffs, and there is no love lost. So we will get to that game coming up. Plus, it turned out to be a compelling finish between Jaguars and Saints. And don't look now, but Jacksonville is on a tear. Although that offense is not quite on a tear yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's almost the weekend, so happy.
I'm here to tell you about Pom-Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom-Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom-Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6 is sleek, full of advanced tech, and has a range of up to 360 miles. Any drawbacks? Yeah, every Ioniq 6 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit, so you're going to have to figure out something else to spend that money on. The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6. Hyundai, it's your journey.
EPA estimated 361 mile range for Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Actual range varies based on trim and other factors. Actual charge time varies based on charging unit output, temperature, and other factors. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Almost Flannel Friday to you here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And Bregman clubs this one pretty deep to right center field. Tavares on his horse. He won't get there. That's into the gap and hits the wall on a hop. That'll score Altuve. Dubon tearing around third. He will score as well. In the third with a two-run triple is Alex Bregman. And the Astros have a 2-0 lead. Pitch on the way. And Alvarez smacks it into center. A base hit. Bregman can walk home. Yordan Alvarez makes it 3-0 Astros.
Hey, they're coming to play tonight. The Astros swinging the bats very well. No answers for Andrew Heaney. Mike Maddox, the pitching coach, already out of the dugout. And they've got somebody up, Dane Dunning, the right-hander.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Once again, the Houston Astros were aggressive in their approach. This time, game 4 of the ALCS, and you hear the calls there. with Robert Ford and Steve Sparks, last night's guest from Dallas and from the ALCS. He joined us here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. I can imagine that some of the Rangers fans were a little bit intimidated by the way that the Astros started. However, this time, the Rangers were able to climb back into it, and they've got their own big bats.
First offering to Seager is hit high and deep out into left center. Dubon ranging back to the track. He leaps. It's gone. Into the Houston bullpen. Corey Seager clubs his second home run of the postseason to tie things up at three.
On Rangers radio, oh, that's nice. We had a tie game for, what, all the way through eight into the ninth inning for the NLCS. And then after the Astros hop on pop early, and they chased Andrew Heaney before he was even out of the first inning. So he lasted two outs in the first inning before they go to the bullpen, before Bruce Bochy goes to the bullpen. But the Rangers are able to come back and tie the game. And so for them to get a couple of home runs, to be able to pull even with the Astros, had to feel like they just won a game, for heaven's sakes. Because once the Astros get started, and there was, again, more defense, Yordan Alvarez gives another ball a ride, nearly as a grand slam. Do you remember last night with Tavares, and he leaped up the wall and hauled in a surefire home run, all right? So his arm is up over the wall. Well, this time it's Alvarez who gives this ball a crazy ride and off his bat. I'm sure there are plenty of people in the park who thought it was gone for a home run, for a grand slam. But instead, Tavares is, well, he's one step from the wall. Not quite exactly the same spot, but pretty darn close. So, yeah, they're able to get back to even, but still, the Astros have found some life, and they love hitting at the Rangers' new ballpark.
Two men on for Abreu. The crowd's into it. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Three-pointer from way downtown. Palacalle! Si, senor! Abreu! A three-run shot! Si, senor! What a big hit! It's 7-3 Astros!
I'm a little bit nervous about Steve Sparks and his voice, but when he joined us last night, he was okay. So I'm sure he knows what he's doing. Plus, here you are. It's the end of the season. It's into October, so you might as well give it all you got because you got a few months off after this. So once again on Astros radio, right after the Rangers tie the game in the third, well, then you get this home run for Jose Abreu. Was his fourth home run in the playoffs, I think? And he does that in the very next half inning. And once again, the walks come back to bite, well, in this case, the Rangers in the rear. I mean, we talked about it with the Phillies, how Craig Kimbrel walks two guys in the bottom of the ninth. Well, the reason it's a three-run home run for Abreu is because the Astros worked a pair of walks to start the inning. It was Martin Maldonado in the nine spot, and then Dunning also walks Altuve, which isn't always a bad play, but you put two guys on. And unfortunately, then for Dunning, well, he's not the one that gives up the home run. There was another pitching change, but those runs were charged to him, to be sure. And for these Astros, because of the experience, because they're defending champions, you know they're going to be tough outs. But we've seen this before. I mean, they can hurt you from the top to the bottom of the order.
He's got a duck on the pond right now.
See, duck on the pond.
The 0-1. Pulls it left center field and hits it well. Going back. Goodwood, good night! Yes, sir, McCormick! 9-3 Astros on the McCormick bomb.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What is, I have to ask this, Jay, what is the Space City Home Network?
Where's an Astros site.
Is it the Space City, which makes sense, Houston, of course, being the home of NASA, but Space City Home Network. That's interesting. I've never heard that before. Anyway, Alex Bregman, one of those guys who's left over from 2017, one of the four guys, and he had the triple initially that got the Astros going. But think about this, 10 runs on 11 hits. And so that They are comfortable at home. On the road. They almost feel like they're at home, right? So you've had all four road teams win these games in the ALCS.
It was great to get off to a good start. Altuve and Doobie did a great job getting on, and I was just fortunate to get a good pitch to hit, put a good swing on it, and found some grass out there. That was nice to get us started, and then Albie came through with a big knock to get us up 3-0. You know, they got a great team, so they battled back, and Albie and Abreu came through right there and put up a four spot for us, so that was huge.
Yeah, kind of crazy that you had the Rangers win the two at Minute Maid Park, and now you've got the Astros win two in a row at Globe Life Field, and maybe the Rangers want to go back to Houston. Maybe that would be the key. For Bruce Bochy now, we're talking best of three. Of course, if you're looking for a guy who's got experience in pretty much every one of these pressure-packed situations, it would definitely be Bochy.
I always like my chances with this club. You know, they battled all year. Hey, we're playing a good team. Nobody thought this was going to be easy. I've been in, this kind of situation where we have to bounce back, and that's what we need to do. They have played very well in this ballpark. We need to change that. We know it, but it's all going to be up to us pitching better and scoring some runs.
All right, so we're heading into the weekend with one series tied at two, that's the American League, and the other 2-1. I'm needing some game sevens in my life. They wouldn't be until next week, but definitely need some game sevens in my life. So coming up on Friday, another doubleheader. This time it's the American League that goes first, and then it's followed by Phillies and Diamondbacks again, and then Saturday just the NLCS. Let's see, when would the game sevens be? I got to look. That's Saturday. We'll go on to Sunday. Sunday would be a game six. Sunday will be a game six between the Rangers and Astros. So that's Sunday night up against Sunday Night Baseball. Oh, dear. I fear for the Rangers and the Astros because it's up against a real good game on Sunday Night Football. If you haven't seen the schedule yet, it'll definitely be one of our after hours game of the week options, Miami at Philadelphia. So that's a game six on Sunday. We know that to be sure. And then Monday would be game seven in the American League. And then would also be a game six in the National League, if that's what we need. So yeah, Monday Night Football and a pair of baseball games if necessary. Here's hoping. The ratings apparently are steady, I guess. I haven't really looked into that much, but just seeing the headlines, they're steady and people are paying attention, but so far we've had no winner-take-all games.
Let's be fair. The baseball playoffs have been flat.
Yeah, you've had a couple of good games. A walk-off tonight.
I know, but you're not getting good series. You're not getting games down to the wire.
Oh,
a lot of lopsided games, and you're getting a lot of quick series.
Yeah, getting sweeps.
There hasn't been anything epic that's stood out in these baseball playoffs. What's standing out is the way the Phillies are rolling. That's what's standing out, but again, that's not enough to carry an entire postseason.
Well, the Rangers were too. They'd won seven in a row until
I know
these last couple.
Again, but that's one side. It was just the Phillies, the way they, their crowd, the energy, the home runs. It was the fun story. But when you're steamrolling people, it doesn't make it riveting. It doesn't make it, must watch. It doesn't. It's not the same. So they need some games, they need some series to come down to the wire, and we'll see. The thing that you hold out hope is you would think the World Series matchup, when you project ahead, would be really good. So that's
well, what are you projecting, though?
I see a rematch.
You think that the Phillies are going to be there. So you think that the Astros are going to come down from 0-2 down?
Yeah, I said that after two games. It didn't matter. This Astros team, the only thing that surprises me is that they've only won two titles. That's what surprises me. They're that good.
Well, they are, but think about how much turnover they've had, though,
too. I understand. And the fact that they lost to the Nationals in 19 still surprises me. Mm. The fact that they lost to the Braves in 21 still surprises me. And it's not because those teams weren't good. It's because the Astros are that good and they rise to every moment. Now, I know you can go back to the cheating scandal and the Dodgers could have had them if they weren't stealing the signs off Clayton Kershaw in game five. They're that good. Okay? It's just bottom line, top to bottom, they're that good. And the guys that have come in have replenished guys that left. It's just a machine that they've got rolling right now in Houston. So the idea that now I think it'll be fun when they play the Phillies. I do expect that. The only team that I don't expect to move on is the Diamondbacks. I give them a ton of credit for winning this game more than I thought they'd get in the series. I thought they were going to get swept. I give them a ton of credit for getting a game and making it something here. And hopefully for them, they can hold home field before having to go back to Citizens Bank.
Mm. Hey, producer Jay, did you see what Marco Belletti is wearing?
I missed this memo entirely, and I feel very left
out. I've dubbed it a flannel Friday, and I knew you would get the memo, of course. And I actually decided to wear flannel as well, because once again, it's supposed to be cold and rainy going into the weekend. Yes, it is. So I decided flannel would be appropriate. I still have not turned on the heat in my house. I assume with three kiddos, you have turned on the heat.
Unfortunately, I had to do it about 3 weeks ago. Yes. There was a really cold night. I can't have, yeah.
You can't have baby
unfortunately,
freezing.
Unfortunately, no. My wife reminded me of that. We have children. You can't let it get to 65 degrees in this house.
Oh, well, in my house this morning, so Thursday morning when I got home, oh, and my gosh, next hour I got to tell you where I found Penny. Now, remember, she's wearing a donut collar. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, the poor dog was stuck. So I'll tell you that next hour because we have to get to our break. But, yeah, I got home this morning and Thursday morning, and it was 61 in the house, and it was glorious. That's my favorite. Give me sweatpants. Give me a robe. I have a big old fluffy robe.
I'm with you 100%. There was one night, whatever it was, about 3 weeks ago, roughly, it was about 63 inside the house.
Uh-huh.
And the words out of my wife's mouth were literally, you have children. You cannot allow the house to get to 63 degrees.
Oh, see, I love
it. And that's when
cold.
I turned on
I sleep so much better when it's cold. So right now it's been averaging about 61, 62 in the mornings when I get home. And then it warms up to 65, 66 during the day. And I'm like, great. I don't have to turn on the heat.
I'm with you 100%. I was overruled.
Well, you have children. I had a dog sitter. I came home from the weekend in Atlanta and she had turned up the heat to 71. I thought I was going to suffocate in my own house. Yeah, Penny and I do not enjoy the heat, so we're good with the cold.
I'm 100%. I'm sorry. The heat, yeah. I don't do in any way. Like whether it's heat in the house or heat outside and it's 95, I don't do well with heat.
I'm with you.
I'm good with cold.
Me
I don't
too.
Do well with heat. I don't function well.
Me too. We speak the same language. All right, coming up, we'll dive into Thursday night football. Looked like the Jaguars were cruising to and giving the Saints a bruising. They were cruising to a fourth straight win until, well, New Orleans interrupted their plans. It went down to the wire. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
First and goal from the 2 yard line. ETN, the running back, bunch formation to the left. Shotgun for Trevor Lawrence. Hands it to ETN, lowers his shoulder, into the end zone, touchdown! A 2 yard touchdown run by Travis ETN!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a familiar theme for the Jacksonville Jaguars these days. Travis Etienne starting out with a touchdown on the opening drive for the Jags. And actually, first time the Saints had given up a touchdown on the opening drive to their opponent in, I think it was 18 games. So it's been quite a while going back to last season. And Etienne had a second touchdown before they hit halftime. I'm not sure if you saw his tweet from last week. Something along the lines of, I played myself in fantasy. So he lost his fantasy matchup because his opponent had him on the roster. And now he has 6 touchdowns in 3 games. And certainly to see the production there. Now, we had to wait. We had delayed gratification, right? Because of ETN's injury his rookie year. But now to see what he does and how he boosts the offense there in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence is huge. And so I don't have the cut number. If you would like to, I'd love to hear from him if you wouldn't mind.
I'm just trying to do whatever I can to help my team win a game. And we need touchdowns, and it's my job to go and get them. And Coach called them great play calls and put me in position to get them. And
boom.
Unfortunately, my offensive line has been playing great, and I'm able to go out there and just do what I do.
Yeah, so the Jaguars jump out to a big lead, and the theme for the Saints over and over is cannot capitalize on opportunities. Cannot get the ball into the end zone. Let's see, who else is really struggling in the red zone? The Ravens. The Ravens have struggled mightily in the red zone while the Saints keep running into that over and over. And so after they come up short in the first half, they have to settle for a couple field goals. Then Derek Carr gives up a pick six middle of the third quarter, and it looks as though the Jaguars are going to win this going away. But the Saints settle in because they go on a 16-play march, a possession that goes nearly 7.5 minutes. And for that reason, they kind of settle in, maybe push some pressure on that Jags defense, kind of flip the script a little bit, and all of a sudden...
Hillett quarterback, fourth and goal from the one in the backfield. Saunders lining up to the left side of Hill, blocking for Hill. Runs left side, touchdown New Orleans. They brought in Colin Sanders, the 324-pound defensive tackle, to plow the road for Taysom Hill. And the Saints cash in on fourth and goal, jumping back into this game, down 24-15.
Yeah, and as they're warming up and settling in, and again, I do think the length of the drive and the possession, not only does it give them a little confidence as they steadily march forward, but also it wears out that Jaguars defense. And then Jacksonville goes silent on offense for a stretch there in the second half, and we certainly know that Derek Carr can throw the football.
Carr to throw, going for the end zone, going for Mike Thomas, who makes the catch, and they're saying touchdown Saints for Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas on the far side brought it down. We'll have to wait and see about the feet, but what a play by Mike Thomas over Monteric Brown.
Speaking of fantasy, Mike Thomas with the toe drag, the knee drag, the everything drag, so that he can make sure that touchdown is secure. And with the two-point conversion, whoa, game is tied about midway through that fourth quarter. You know what strikes me, actually, on both of the last two touchdowns in this game is that they come off of short fields. The drives were under a minute. So, yeah, maybe take into account that the defenses are tired at this point. It's a short work week, remember. But also the fact that the other team had a three and out. Turn it over on downs. They're short possessions, meaning it's great field position then when Saints get the ball back and they're able to tie the game on the Michael Thomas TD. But same thing goes. They didn't push the Jaguars deep on what was their last possession.
Shotgun, empty backfield for Trevor. Three right, two left, he drops. Looks, checks it down underneath. That's a crossing route to Christian Kirk. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Christian Kirk to the goal line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. A crossing route to Christian Kirk. And the Jags have retaken the lead.
That touchdown takes all of 37 seconds, or touchdown drive takes all of 37 seconds, because Trevor Lawrence finds a streaking Christian Kirk, and because, again, they start the possession at midfield. And so that's tough. I mean, it's tough for a defense to put him in that position, but you just didn't make them work hard enough to get that TD. So that one comes with just over 3 minutes to go in the game. Still, the Jaguars had to do some defensive work, and it comes back to over and over again for New Orleans and its offense. You've got opportunities, just don't take advantage of them enough. So 2-for-5 in the red zone, and that includes their last possession. They had a chance to tie this game, 7 shots at it inside the red zone, 7 of them, a handful of them coming from the 6-yard line. Foster Moreau has a touchdown go right off his fingertips. The Saints are able to preserve the win with a stop on fourth down. We'll hear the reaction from Thursday Night Football straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.